The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix podcast. Tune in today.
Kia ora and welcome along to Remember When. We're going to take a little time out to look back at the phenomenon and trends that defined our time as young people in Aotearoa. My name's Jane Yee. Joining me, Duncan Grieve, Managing Editor of The Spinoff, and also Toby Morris, Creative Director of The Spinoff. We are going to Remember When Wellington Dub.
Oh, yeah.
When I say Wellington Dub, what springs to mind? I'm guessing some artists.
Yeah, it was like, it was a real moment. There was Fat Freddy's Drop, who were a sort of an interesting, kind of fairly singular band, a lot of people in them. And then within a 2-3 years, it felt like, you know, it was like Seattle, you know. There were just dozens of artists that came out that kind of nestled in some portion of the sound world that Freddie's created. And fair to say that on a personal level, I didn't love them all very much.
But you couldn't avoid them, right? Like, you were writing for magazines at the time, for music magazines. I was doing a lot of music television, and I swear to God, every second episode was some Wellington band who played that particular type of music. And Toby Morris, you were living in Wellington.
I was living in Wellington. It was completely unavoidable at that time. It was never really my scene particularly, but it was, you couldn't be a young person in Wellington and not be part of it. I was there. I was a student around that time, sort of early 2000s, and yeah, every weekend would be another new band coming up. There's a couple of sort of key summers that I feel like there were lots of quite good kind of council outdoor summer festival-y kind of things. There's a series called Whopper Chopper that was really legendary, where they'd have these big parties on the beach every weekend over summer, and they were all sort of Wellington dub bands played at those.
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody just get really stoned and dance on the beach. It was great.
It was really interesting because at the time I was working at Channel Z as well, and Wellington dub made its way into this like slightly alternative mainstream station, which would be like you're listening to Jane's Addiction and like Deftones and then the Black Seeds.
Black Seeds are a really interesting kind of case study for it, right? Because part of what made it so ubiquitous was the fact that they were all in each other's bands.
Yeah.
There might actually only have been 9 people, but they had between them like 115 different bands and side projects. And I think the Black Seeds were the one I had the biggest issue with. I just found them like super boring. And that really coloured my sort of impression of the whole sort of superstructure.
That's such lovely guys.
Well, that's the problem, right? Like, these were all just like lovely people. And people would be like, oh yeah, he's an awesome guy. And I'm like, well, you can't meet them, because otherwise you'll just, the thing you'll think of when you hear their bad music is the lovely guy making it. That's not any audience's experiences of them. Sorry, I'm just remembering being a music critic and why had no friends.
I was terrible. I was writing New Zealand album reviews for Rip It Up when the Black Seeds released one of their big albums, and I didn't love it, but I still gave it a really good review because I would go out on Squeeze and spend like,
how dare you,
a day filming with them every like month or two, and I couldn't face being like, oh, I gave you 2.5 stars.
That's like a problem of New Zealand criticism in miniature. There's everyone was all kind of matesy and no one wanted to kind of offend the person they're going to see at the pub. Toby, you were almost unique in that you were from Wellington, played in a band in the early 2000s.
And didn't make it into the,
and didn't make any Wellington dub.
Yeah.
What was it like being outside of that? Did you feel like just the act of not being in that kind of a band was some kind of implicit rebellion against the tyranny?
I was definitely not in that world. But I mean, part of the problem, I think, and part of what you're saying here, it was just, I blame Cuba Street for all of this.
Bloody
I think
Cuba
Wellington's
Street.
So damn small that you walk down the street and you bump into 12 people that you know. And I think that's how all these bands came about, because people bump into me like, oh, hey, bro, you play drums, you're a bass player, let's have a jam this afternoon, even though we're both in other bands already.
I used to go to Wellington all the time for work. and because that's where all this music was taking place, and I'd walk down Cuba Street and bump into people from Auckland on Cuba Street.
Right.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Is it still like that?
It's still kind of like that. I mean, I've been away long enough that I had fewer people that I bump into. But yeah, it's definitely like that. At one stage, my parents moved overseas, and I moved flats a couple of times and changed my phone number, and they sort of lost a way to contact me. They were visiting New Zealand, and they didn't know how to tell me, and my brother said to them, just go down Cuba Street, you'll find them. And sure enough, I was sitting there on the park bench and it's like, oh, hey, mum, what are you up to?
I love it. So other bands were like Rhombus. Holly Smith was kind of weirdly dub adjacent in Trinity mm-hmm. Roots.
Trinity Roots was, yeah, not strictly dub, but definitely not part of that same world. Yeah.
So Trinity Roots are one of the ones that I feel like got unfairly tarnished by. Like they were actually a much more interesting band than the sort of the post-Black Seeds artists. This is the thing, like it was one of those, it was like you're also getting into kind of coded racism territory here where like Aotearoa Roots was a thing, and this was some of this was discussed in the 660 movie recently where I was cast as the villain as a music critic, which is cool.
But you and, I mean, Simon, like, you and Simon Sweetman.
Well, yeah, but he was in the movie. so I just had to wear that one for the pair of us. I mean, the thing that I think is tense is like there is a kind of a Māori tradition of playing kind of Jamaican influenced music, which is much longer than kind of Wellington dub scene and is, to me, a lot more interesting than the kind of more bland sort of jazzy. It felt very kind of jazz school.
Blurred into that jazz, Wellington jazz scene as well,
Elements of it. But it was hard to, because of the names tended to kind of sprawl across these things, it was hard to discuss one without conflating it with the other. And I'm sure that there were, I don't know, man, it was the 2000s. It was hard to write these things without getting it wrong periodically, but because there were so many bands that shared members, and it was very hard to kind of get your arms around it. Just on Rhombus, Rhombus had that song Clav Dub, which was kind of massive in the
early 2000s. Yeah, with the Goodbye
Pop Fire video. With hindsight, not a bad song, but just was so ubiquitous that it kind of became one. A few years later, I went to Wellington Airport, and it was one of the duty-free shops had gone. And I remember walking into the airport, and it was all kind of peak Lord of the Rings era as well. And Rhombus were playing in an empty duty-free shop surrounded by all this Lord of the Rings tat. And I was like, "This, if you were doing a sitcom about Wellington, this would be a scene." And you'd be like, "That's kind of ridiculous." But it really freaking happened to me.
Yeah, what happened? I mean, it all culminated in like Fly My Pretties, when basically they all got together
that
on stage.
Sort of urban.
Toured around, released some albums, and then just we all moved on.
I think that was the end of it. Like there was the loop recording scene, and they did a bunch of compilations, and it just felt like it. I think people realized it had got a bit much by then.
But I think the echo of it lives on in 660 and LAB and stuff. Like I think there's still sort of shadows, you know, sort
absolutely.
Of distant echoes of it, whether that's specifically Wellington or that's just sort of broadened out into the water generally.
We bloody loved it at a barbecue, didn't we? Loved to chuck on the Black Seeds at a barbie. I had a bit of a crush on Barnaby Weir, which was another reason I probably couldn't write negative reviews.
Now we're getting down to it.
And also the other unusual thing was that like knowing the name of the engineer, like Lee Preble, who was considered
part of
the band, even though he wasn't on stage. But you know, whenever we interviewed them, Lee Preble was there. And I think he like mixed everyone else as well.
Yeah. He crossed over even into Phoenix Foundation and people like that.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
I think in addition to it being, like people often call it barbecue reggae, but to me, another part of it, in addition to blaming Cuba Street, I want to blame cafes in general. I feel like Wellington is like a real place that you sit around in a cafe and like shoot the shit and kill 2 hours, and it's perfect cafe music. Like all those people worked in those cafes, all those musicians, and all of those, if you go to Fidel's now or whatever, they're still cranking those tunes.
It's so true. That was a huge part of the like distribution methodology, was that it was just perfect kind of flat white music during a period when cafe culture was exploding across the country. The kind of irony of it all is that because the bands were so big, you could never earn a living because there were like 100 people in the band. And because they were always sort of breaking up and making, or not breaking up, but like they were always doing side projects, you didn't establish a national brand. And that was in some, and that, so that the irony that, I don't think LAB are from Wellington, right? Like, so, it's, the willing that sort of idea was popularized, commercialized, and has been made tremendously lucrative by a band from Dunedin, made up of people from all over the country, who did it by having a consistent message, relatively small by that standards group of people. They took a lot of the different sounds, almost all of them, including like Shapeshifter, who weren't from Wellington either, and have just printed money out the back of it, which must make some of the pioneers, the Barnaby Beware's and Leap Rebels, sort of a bit like, oh man,
we almost had it. Yeah,
yeah.
I do wonder if the beginning of the end for the Black Seeds was when Brent McKenzie went off to do Flight of the Conchords, and now that's kind of Black Seeds' claim to fame, is that Brett used to be in that band.
Yeah, he had his own little spin-off thing.
Yeah, he did.
Do it. It was like did. Video Kid or something.
Yeah, maybe it was a Video Kid. Yeah, speaking of videos, God, the videos were terrible. They really were.
No, you're far enough away.
Do you know what? It's taken this long, some 16 years, do I feel like it's safe for me to say these things as an ex-like New Zealand music advocate.
2.5 stars.
I'm joking.
I have friends in some of those bands still. They'll be upset.
Hey, look, like I say, amazing people. And what a time it would have been for them, you know? I mean, if we were a fancier kind of a place, we might have been able to get them in. thank you very much, Duncan. Thank you, Toby, falling into the Wellington dub hole with me. Really appreciate it. Thank you to the spin-off members for making this podcast possible. Thank you to Tina for recording. We will catch you guys next time.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.